The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews. I have a packed lineup of guests to talk to you again this afternoon, and I'll also be catching up with the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin later in the show. But as always, I'd love to hear from you, and the easiest way to get in touch with us is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. Use the hashtag BBunker, and we'd love to hear from you. We've had a few tweets in already, and we'll read those. We've got lots of information, news, and things to share with you this afternoon. I'd like to start off by saying a huge thank you to this week's show sponsor. The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with Pink Spaghetti PA Services, Thanet and Canterbury. Your PA service provides your 25th hour of the day, email marketing, diary management, press releases, and much, much more for your small business. Do give them a follow on the Twitter, pinkspag_Vicky, and thank you so much for supporting the Business Bunker Show. We really do appreciate it. Lots to tell you about, as I said. First, let's start off with some good news, shall we? The latest figures on COVID show that there are a number of areas in Kent that are doing incredibly well. These are Kent towns that are virtually COVID-free now. The whole district of Sevenoaks, that's the whole of West Kent basically, has only 20 positive cases. Queenborough on the Isle of Sheppey, Hythe, New Romney, Lydd, Hawkinge, Deal and Sandwich all have three cases. Edenbridge, Tunbridge, Sevenoaks Town and Tenterton have two or fewer. So that's 10 places with less than three cases of COVID at the moment, which is fantastic news. Let's hope we're coming out the other end of this and can start to open everything up and return to some kind of normality. That would be really lovely, wouldn't it, after all this time. There's a handful of tickets still available for the Marsh Network Online at 10:30 a.m. mañana, tomorrow, Wednesday the 31st of March. 35 tickets have already been sold, so it's now your last chance to book. If you want to get a place, then go to www.marshnetwork.co.uk. The speaker this week is Richard Smith of iMasters, who will give a 10 minutes on the impact of increased screen time during the pandemic on your eyes. Well, tell me about it. Eye strain. Oh, not good. The last two meetings have been full with almost 40 people attending. So book now to increase your reach across Kent and East Sussex. And increasingly a wider area, including Essex and parts of London. So it's growing enormously. Spread the word, no joining on membership fees, £5 pay as you go, including a charity donation. So join us for relaxed professional networking and to give and receive support. That's from Terry Botfield. You can find Terry on the Twitter, TD Botty, one of my favourite Twitter handles. Or you can email Terry at terry@botfield.net. That's for the Marsh Network, taking place 10:30 tomorrow. That's a webinar. It's online. Wednesday the 31st of March at 10:30. Check it out. See what you can do. Meet some other business people. Right. Let's start off with one of the tweets we've had. Now my phone's gone off, of course. The lovely Kim Stevens of Care in Kent. She says, I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker Show for the Care in Kent at home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. Thank you to the care teams who work tirelessly for the needs of our clients to ensure that they feel comfortable, safe and secure. If you see our teams out and about, give us a wave. We certainly will, Kim, and thank you for raising that with us. And absolutely, they do deserve all of our thanks and appreciation for looking after people. That's the Care in Kent team in Ashford and Folkestone. Give them a wave if you see them about. The lovely folks at T-Pole Products have come along and said, it's a Tiggerific Tuesday. That was in response to a tweet I sent earlier. T-Pole Products, they manufacture cleaning solutions in the UK, based in Kent, based in Bromley, and they're cleaning solutions manufacturers. T-Pole Products, follow them on Twitter, T-E-E-P-O-L Products, all one word, T-Pole Products. Give the lovely folks at T-Pole a follow. Let's do one more shout out and then we'll read some more emails. Oh, Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks. My Tuesdays comes around quick, don't they? Another Business Bunker show to look forward to this afternoon. Thank you, folks. Glad you can tune in and join us. And look forward to sharing the afternoon with you, basically. Chips and Dinks on Twitter. Worth a follow for all kinds of reasons. They're fantastic at fixing the dinks and dents and wings and dings in your motor. But they do so much more than that. You know, spraying, repairing, fixing, tidying up, and recycling. Some of the stuff they've recycled is unbelievable. Check it out on their Twitter handle, Chips and Dinks. Have a look at it. It's well worth it. Lovely folks there doing incredible stuff. Some of you may know John Nicholson. John is the CEO of the Community Driving School. It's a not-for-profit driving school that helps people get driving licenses so they can get jobs when they have no money and no income and no way of doing it else any other way. John has sent me this. I'd like to invite you to attend an online event. You'll get to meet John. More importantly, you get the chance to meet our ambassador, Chanel Drew, as we both talk about the Community Driving School CIC and Chanel Drew Racing. This is an event that's taking place on Thursday the 8th of April from 12 till 1. There's also a chance to network at virtual tables, which means you can move around and talk to as many people as you'd like. It will be great to see you at this event, and you'll get the chance to hear what we've been up to. That's from John Nicholson, who's the CEO of Community Driving School. You can find out about the Community Driving School by going to www.thecds.org.uk. That's thecds.org.uk. But if you want to take part in this webinar with Chanel Drew, the racing driver, if you go to live.remo.co/ the Community Driving School, that's live.remo.co/ the Community Driving School, and sign up for that event. Why don't you? It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. This is an email I've had from Medway City Council, and they say, help stop the spread of COVID-19 in Medway. Symptom-free testing will continue to be available for everyone. With the national restrictions easing, we're adapting our symptom-free testing program to provide a range of ways to get tested in our local communities. This will help quickly detect new infections and stop the spread of the virus in Medway. It's now never been easier to get tested. From this Thursday, the 1st of April, you'll be able to book a symptom-free test at 4 sites across Medway, including one new centre. And the sites are Chattenden Community Centre, the Oast in Raynham, the Deep End in Chatham, that has limited opening hours. I don't know what they are, but they're limited. And then there's a new centre at Mid Kent College in Gillingham, and that opens on the 8th of April. The testing centres at Medway Park in Gillingham and Rochester Cathedral will close as of Wednesday the 31st of March. If you want to find out all about this and get in testing, the easiest thing to do is to go to the government website, which is www.gov.uk/get-workplace-coronavirus-tests. That's www.gov.uk/get-workplace-coronavirus-tests. Check that out if you're based in Medway. Another event that's happening quite shortly. See, things are opening up now, aren't they? People are all gearing up to get out and about and do stuff, which is lovely. It's nice to start reporting on some positive stuff and positive things opening. It's with great pleasure that Paul and Rani Barbara are inviting you to attend the Vesakia, to celebrate the launch of Carrara Foods and welcome in the Sikh New Year. The grand opening of Carrara at McNaid Food Village in Faversham will take place on Wednesday the 14th of April from 3 p.m. With restrictions lifting on the 12th of April, this is the perfect time to join Paul and Rani to celebrate and tickle your taste buds. This event will be conducted in accordance with COVID-19 restrictions, as safety is of the utmost importance. So that's the opening of Carrara Foods with Paul and Rani Barbara. I have to tell you, their food is absolutely to die for. I've known Paul and Rani for a long, long time. Their curries, everything is just absolutely fantastic. 14th of April, 3 p.m. at McNaid's in Faversham. Get along there, experience the food. you won't be disappointed. I absolutely guarantee it. Okay, let's see what else we've got in. Right. We got some more tweets coming in. Charity Buddy, hi Paul, hope you're both keeping well. Could I have a mention on today's Business Bunker show, please? I'm looking forward to today's guests. That's from Martin Reeves, Charity Buddy. Martin helps small local charities to raise funds, so do give him a follow on Twitter, charity_buddy. Jules said to him, it'll be hot in your loft. He's been doing some stuff in the loft recently, so Jules thinks he's still up there. He says, it's too hot in the loft. My wife's given me a few jobs to do, and I'm done in. Please don't send me in the loft again, Mrs. R. He says he's going to chill and listen to the Business Bunker show. He said, if you've not heard the show, it's really good. You need to listen. Well, thank you for that, Martin. That's very kind of you. right. Okay, I've got something that I want to read you now, and then an advert I want to play in connection with it. Kelly Turner would have been 21 years old in 2021. There's still no cure for the DSRCT cancer that took her life at just 17 years of age. Kelly was a patient of the Royal Marsden Hospital, and they were absolutely wonderful. The Kelly Turner Foundation is now raising funds for research into DSRCT on behalf of the Institute for Cancer Research. So we'd like you to donate some money, and you can do that by going to their Just Giving page, which is www.justgiving.com, Kelly Turner Foundation 2017. That's justgiving.com, Kelly Turner Foundation 2017. And that's from Linda and Martin Turner, who are Kelly's mum and dad. So thank you for that. I've got a little kind of advert for that as well, so let's listen to it.
The Kelly Turner Foundation. In 2021, R. Kelly would have been 21 years old. Unfortunately, DSRCT cancer took her life. There is still no cure or chemo for DSRCT. Please help us celebrate Kelly's 21st by supporting our fundraising for research by the Institute of Cancer Research. Please Google Kelly Turner Just Giving and donate to save teenage lives. Thank you.
So that's the Kelly Turner Foundation, justgiving.com / Kelly Turner Foundation 2017. I'm getting all carried away here. Do donate, please. Do support that a fantastic initiative from Linda and Martin. Do you know what? It's probably time for some cheesy tunage. What do you reckon? Let's have a listen.
I can really rock.
I can do it, the Rubettes. We're going to hear from Mary Eniulu in a moment from the Can Do Academy. Do you see what I did there? We can do it, Can Do Academy. Well, some weird songs today. Darren of Intune PR has tweeted me. He said, what on earth was the bossa nova version of Mrs. Robinson playing just before the Bunker Show came on air? Yeah, I heard that. I was listening to that too. And I suddenly thought, that's a version of Mrs. Robinson. That's weird. It was. I don't know what it was. I'll dig back through the playlist and find out what it was. I didn't put it on. But it was strange. Anyway, that was I Can Do It by the Rubettes. So let's listen to somebody else who can also do it.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show this Tuesday afternoon, Mary Eniulu of Can Do Academy. Mary, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Good afternoon, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's wonderful to see you. I haven't seen you for absolutely ages, and I'm trying to remember when I last saw you. I think it was at an event somewhere, about 18 months, 2 years ago now, I would have thought.
It was, and it seems like it's been ages ago. So this was an event put together by the education people, and you were facilitating the event. Yes, yeah. It was a lovely day, and it was lovely to finally meet you face-to-face, because I'd listened to you on the radio before that, and I think we had a bit of exchange on social media as well. Yeah. We had never actually met, so it was lovely to meet you that day. And like you say, it does seem like it's been forever now.
Okay, I remember it well now. That was a long time ago now, though, wasn't it? But then, of course, there hasn't been any events for the last year, so it's not a surprise. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for joining us on the show. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And I want to start off by asking you to tell the listeners what it is the Can Do Academy does.
Right. Okay. So Can Do Academy is a professional training and coaching company, and we work with business owners to help them grow their business by working with the people in the business. Mm. Obviously, there's a lot that goes into running a successful business, you know, but we focus on the people because we really believe that the people make the business. Mm. So it could be working with the solopreneur, or it could be working with the larger companies, helping them develop their teams. It's all about creating a growth environment for the business owner and their people to thrive.
Right.
That's what we're about, and that's what we're passionate about. So it's personal development, leadership development, creating that environment to help people be their best self, and helping business owners to engage better with their teams. We've heard it all, you know, over and over again. There's so much research that proves that the more engaged staff are in the business, the more productive they're going to be. So in a nutshell, that's what we do.
Yeah, you raised some very interesting points there. I want to explore the last thing you said, and then look at a couple of other things you said earlier about staff engagement. It's one of those weird things, isn't it? In my experience, a lot, especially big corporates that have lots of layers of management, they tend. I once saw a chart. I used to work as a leadership trainer myself, and I once saw a chart that I used to use that showed you the percentage of awareness of the business that people were in based on their place in the hierarchy. And of course, the people with the least knowledge were the people at the top. And the people with the most knowledge were the frontline workers that dealt with customers every single day. But it's still one of those funny things. And this is my view. I'm asking your view on this. It's still one of my views that an awful lot of corporates still don't engage their frontline staff well enough to find out what their customers really want.
I think that's an interesting point. I think there's always room for improvement. Like you say, there's usually that divide between those in senior leadership and those who are actually doing the work. And very often, like you say, it's those who are actually actively engaging, carrying out the assignments, interfacing with the customers. They have a lot more knowledge about the business quite often, but their voice is quite often not heard.
Yeah.
So it's quite important that leaders are intentional about gleaning from their people things that will help the business improve. I think we're very good about getting customer feedback from our clients, from our customers. But very often you find that businesses don't have a structure or a system in place to actually glean from their own team. So you may have the leadership thinking one thing of the business, and you have the employees thinking something else of the business. And so a tool we have actually that really helps to break the ice is something we call the leadership game. And it's a fun game to play, but it's really a leadership assessment tool that when you start to get your team engaged in playing that game, you begin to really unearth things that you weren't even aware existed in your own business, because you ask certain questions. It's a board game, and you ask a question, and one manager says something, and somebody else says something, and so you think, okay, so there's something going on there that needs to be explored. So you are right. I think there usually is that divide, and the more we work towards closing that gap, I think the better for the business, really, because the people closest to the issue are always better placed to solve it.
Absolutely. And what you said is absolutely true, of course, which is all about engagement. And I love the fact that you're talking about a board game there in terms of developing that engagement. I quite often, when we were allowed, work with young enterprise. And we do a thing called the Fiver Challenge and the Tenner Challenge. And basically, we give school kids 5 quid, and they have to trade it up. They have to make money out of the 5 quid. And it's brilliant. It is. I tell you what, the kids, some of the kids are unbelievable in their trading skills. And before you know it, they've turned you inside out and taken 50 quid off you. But the thing I like about those kind of approaches to it, that kind of game playing, is it has a sense of reality to it, because most people are fairly competitive to one degree or another. So even though it's a game, they want to do well, and they want to engage in it. Whereas in my experience, quite often with just a dry format training course, you know, a lot of people just stare out the window, or they go. I mean, I had the unfortunate experience for many years of being a customer service trainer. And of course, 110% of people believe they don't need any customer service training. they all go, no, I know how to do that. So they'd be ordered to go on a course, and they'd all sit looking out the window or something. So that degree of engagement is really interesting.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is, if you think about it, the more involved we are, the more we're going to get out of something.
Absolutely.
So it's one thing sitting in a room and hearing somebody speak to or speak at you, however you want to look at it, but it's something else for you to get involved, and you're actually thinking as you go along, and you're actually engaging with the material. You get so much more out of it. They say, don't they? I mean, you lose what, 78% of what you what you learn within a week. But when you, the more involved you are in the process, the more engaged you are in the process, the more of it you remember. So it's just a fun way of really dealing with serious issues.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't want to put words in your mouth. You have your own opinions, and I have mine, obviously. I sometimes despair, especially amongst politicians, of the lack of leadership skills. I just see people going through the motions, and it's not leadership. It's just management, really. It's just, you know, here's a set of rules. Let's do this. And I'm also not a great one for I've got my own expression for it, which is it's the no I in team syndrome. When I had a corporate job, every corporate office, no matter where you went in the world, had a poster on the wall that said there's no I in team. Yeah. And it was just one of those motivational posters, but you saw it everywhere. But it was just a cliche. Do you know what I mean? You put them up and ignore it. And sometimes with companies, they can do things like corporate social responsibility or diversity or equality, and they tick a few boxes and go, right, we've done that. We'll put that over there. That's done now. Now we get back to what we were doing. And that's not leadership, in my opinion. So I'd just be interested in your thoughts on leadership versus management.
Yeah, I mean, leadership is so important, Paul, isn't it? I mean, like you mentioned the politicians, just in any field, in our family, just let's start from the home, from the home to the community, to the nation, just in every spectrum, leadership is so, so important. And that's why we're really passionate about developing leaders and the work that we do. So in my opinion, everything rises and falls on leadership. Yeah. So if I wanted to distinguish between management and leadership, I would say management perhaps is doing what you can within the scope of what you've got. So the manager is managing the process, making sure the process works, making sure the system works. But the leader does basically what needs to be done to get the job done. So the leader thinks outside the box. The leader is taking more initiative, is more innovative, is more creative. So you're not just going with the flow, i.e. working with systems and working with processes. The leader really has to step up and lead. And so that's, for me, that's the main distinction. The manager is working within a process. The leader is more creative and more innovative and thinking more outside of the box. Absolutely. In the way they lead. And you're absolutely right. You know, it's so common for businesses to do tick box exercises, whether it's with leadership training or, I mean, we do diversity and inclusion training. You mentioned that. And for lots of businesses, that is a tick box exercise. It could be because, you know, legally you're obliged to do it, depending on your sector, or just because you have to show that you're doing the right thing. But I think more and more, Paul, especially with everything that's gone on in the last year, I really think this is the time for us to begin to really put our money where our mouths is, and really to begin to really seek and desire that true change. Obviously, diversity and inclusion is a big topic at the moment for various reasons. But I think when we start to think about even productivity in our business, and going back to staff engagement, I was speaking to somebody the other day, and I said, now more than ever, people have a basis for not showing up when they ought to show up.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm homeschooling a child, I'm taking care of a sick relative. Those are genuine reasons why someone might not show up at work or be where they're supposed to be. And so now more than ever, I think business owners need to rely on what I call discretionary goodwill of their staff. That willingness to go above and beyond maybe what's expected of you. And that's something you don't buy. That's something you can't pay for through salary. That's something you have to kind of earn by actually getting that team, that person on board, and really get them to buy into your vision. That will motivate them to then go that extra mile. So what I'm trying to say, I suppose, in so many words, is with diversity and inclusion, this is the time to really make that ingrain it in your business. So it's not just about I'm ticking the boxes. It's actually about creating a really inclusive culture.
Yeah.
So your people feel included, and it makes it easier for them to give you that discretionary goodwill because they feel like I'm a part of something here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And also, I think in terms of getting that degree of employment engagement, it's a reciprocal thing as well. Yeah, we ask our employees to be flexible and to support us and help us and do that. As employers, we need to do the same. We need to be flexible to them and absolutely allow them to do things and allow them some degree of responsibility in what they do. I have to say, it's quite funny. My style of management is to delegate everything to everybody.
There are not many like you then, Paul. There are lots of managers who like to keep control and like to micromanage. And even with remote working, people are still seeking to micromanage. Some are looking to do it through software. I don't know if you've heard of businesses wanting to take on software that will help them micromanage their team to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. So, you're one of a kind, I think.
Yeah, it's mostly laziness in my guess. But funny story, many years ago, when I first launched my major business, one of the things I said to the staff, people kept saying to me, well, what's when I was interviewing people to recruit them, and they'd say, well, what's the hours of work? And I don't know. I just want you to do the job. I don't care what time you do it, you know. So I had this really flexible thing that said, I don't care what time you come to work, and I don't care what time you go home, as long as you do what I need you to do. But the funny thing was, is that you get in the office at like 8:30 and everyone was there. So, you know, they found it really, you know, they go, no, I don't trust you. If I'm not in, you're going to sack me.
But the thing is, I think generally people think about it. I don't know about you, but when, I mean, I'm my background is law, so I come from that profession.
I want to explore that in a minute, if I may. Yeah.
I've been in the legal profession for 30 years. And I don't know about you, but I think generally when I go into work and I'm not being productive, I'm more tired. I feel more drained than if I was being productive. So I think generally people do want to do a good job.
Yeah.
People want to take pride in their work. People want to do something that makes them feel good, that they feel like they're a part of something and we're achieving something here. Yeah. So I don't think people really need to be micromanaged and bullied and threatened to get them to perform. I think we're putting our energy in the wrong places when we do that. I think as managers, as leaders, if we focus on trying to get the best out of people by creating that environment for them to thrive, they will thrive. People might think I'm idealistic, but that's what I really believe.
Yeah, no, but I think you're absolutely right. And I think it's absolutely true that people are different, aren't they? I mean, we've talked about diversity, but individual people have different personalities and they work in different ways. You know, some people are morning people, some people are evening people. You know, some people work in short bursts, some people work in long, you know.
Exactly.
And the problem is, if you try and create a process that, you know, jams everyone in it, you're not using anyone's skill set, really. You know, so I think you're right. I think, you know, being more flexible about your workforce and letting them use their talents in a way that suits them is the best way forward.
I think it's just as a business owner, being clear on the metrics.
Yeah.
You know, that you're measuring your success against. Those are the things we need to focus on and let people express their creativity in how they actually achieve that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. If you don't mind, Mary, I'd like to explore the other side of this for a moment, which is you as a businesswoman and you and your background. So first, you mentioned you were in law beforehand, and I thought you said 30 years, but that's not possible at all. You're just not old enough. I'm sorry. Unless you qualified as a lawyer when you were four. So give us a bit of a bit of an insight into your background, and then if you wouldn't mind, let us know what inspired you to start your business.
Right. Okay. Yes, I did say 30 years, Paul. Yeah, I did. I've been in the legal profession for 30 years and in April, it was 16 years. So 2005, I set up my own law practice.
Right.
So I ran that practice for, like I say, coming up to 16 years now. It's still going kind of on the side. But I got into training and coaching probably just slightly over 8 years ago. And it was in the not-for-profit sector. So helping voluntary organizations train their staff. And then I got into coaching, mainly with youngsters. I still work with young people. I mentor young people in secondary schools across Maidstone. And I found that I really loved it. I really loved the engagement with people. I loved the transformation that took place after I'd worked with people. I received coaching myself, and I saw the power in that. And just as the years went on, I just really felt like this is what I should be doing. You know, all the training I had received in the past, all my experiences, I really felt like this was the time to really put it into developing people. I've always been a can-do kind of person. So my business is called Can Do Academy. When I set up my law practice, for example, in 2005, I was told, you're going into this at the wrong time. This is the wrong time for you to be going into legal practice. Most people are leaving, you know, the profit margin is low, partners are selling up. And I thought, no, this is what I want to do. So I went for it and I built a successful law practice. And so that can-do attitude has always been in me. Yeah. And then when it came to coaching and training, I thought, well, this is the time for me to make that transition. But again, I was kind of dithering. I was like, oh, I don't know if I should do it. I've been in the legal profession for 30 years. But for me, it was just that passion, the passion to see people bloom, to see people, you know, really realize their potential, to see someone, for instance, who is starting a business, really go for it and do what they want to do. Like I said at the start of our interview, I really believe that everyone has unlimited potential. But the way that we realize that potential is through growth.
Yep.
But for most of us, our intentional, deliberate growth stops when we get our degree from university. Mm-hmm. And so my desire was to really help people grow to be what they could be, to achieve what they could achieve. There's always more for us, always more. And so that was what really drove me to set up Can Do Academy in 2017. And I turned 50. I turned 50 in 2017. Oh, everybody knows my age now.
Well, you certainly don't look it.
I wrote my first book called The Dreamer. Right. That was my goal. I wanted to write my first book before I turned 50. Mm. And the book is called The Dreamer, Success Principles to Move You from Dreamer to Achiever. So the process of writing that book and the principles I shared in the book, I just said to myself, you know what, if you believe half the things you've written in this book, you need to step out and do what you know you really want to do.
Right.
And so 2017, I got certified with the John Maxwell team as a trainer and a coach and started to build Can Do Academy from there. Yeah. Mm. So it's been interesting.
Yeah, it certainly. And what fascinates me about your journey is that you've straddled two different ways of building businesses. And what I mean by that is a lot of people, and there's nothing wrong with this whatsoever, a lot of people, when they start a business, they start a business they already know. So as you did with your law firm, yeah, you were a lawyer, you'd worked as a lawyer, you then started a business as a law firm. And lots of people do that, and that's a great way to start a business. So if you're a florist, you open a florist shop. If you're a plumber, you start, become a self-employed plumber. What's rarer is people that then start a business in a field that isn't theirs. And yeah. You've done both, which is fascinating, because although you experienced coaching and all the rest of it, it wasn't your professional background to start with.
Yeah.
So it was a passion, and it was just a passion. So you've had to grow into that as well. And I'm just fascinated, if you wouldn't mind, the last few minutes of the interview, but just explaining to us, when you first launched Can Do Academy, what were the issues you faced? Someone coming into a business that wasn't in their professional background, if you see what I mean, what were the kind of issues that you faced? If any, it may have been a doddle. You may have just sailed straight into it and gone off with it. But
no, it certainly wasn't. And like you say, that was one of the biggest concerns. And people expressed that concern to me. How are you going to leave something you've been doing for 30 years, something you know, something you do well, to go into a completely different field? And what I said was, for me, it was the personal growth that I had experienced myself. That was what gave me the confidence.
Right.
Because it's so easy for us to develop our skill in whatever field we're in. So as an accountant, I take my training, you know, I get my professional development points to keep improving as an accountant or as a solicitor or as a doctor. But very few people actually continue to invest in themselves as a person. And so the investment I had made in my personal development and in my way of thinking was what really helped me cross that bridge, because I said, I'm taking me from my law practice into my training and coaching business. Even though it's a completely different field, I was confident in me, in who I had become. And that's why I'm really passionate about what I do, because if you're, you know, people have lost their jobs at the moment, people have been made redundant. Mm. But if we continue to invest in ourselves, we really can make that transition. So you asked what sort of challenges I had. As a lawyer, when I was running my law firm, Paul, I went networking once. Just once in my 16 years of networking.
All right.
I walked into the room and it was full of middle-aged white males.
You're right.
I was the only black person in the room. I was the only other female in the room. I felt so self-conscious. I hugged the tea and coffee table for the whole evening. I didn't speak to anyone. Mm. And I left that room and I said to myself, never again will I put myself in this sort of situation. But as I started to invest in myself, one of the areas that we've been doing a lot of work in is communication. And one of the first things I learned about the art of communicating and connecting with people is that connecting is all about others.
Yeah.
All about others. And I said to myself, that was the mistake I made that evening. Mm. I made it all about me. Mm. I am the only black person here. I am the only other female. And so I put myself under pressure. Mm. But just that shift of communicating and connecting with people is all about the other person.
Yeah.
Now, in my coaching and training business, I do have to go networking. It's different to law. You know, people found me through Yellow Pages and all of that. So I didn't really need to network to build up. But with coaching and training, because it's such a people kind of work you're doing, you're really working with people, I do have to network. But that growth that I experienced in that area of communicating really helped me to overcome that challenge.
Right.
So now I can walk into any room and network with anybody and I don't feel self-conscious. So yeah, that's one of the challenges that I had to overcome.
Okay, and I get that. I get that so much. It's a powerful story that you tell. And an inspirational story that you tell. Mary, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. If people want to find out more about the Can Do Academy, I guess the best way is to go to your website, yeah?
Yes, it's candoacademy.net. Okay. And before we finish, actually, just to say I'm running a mastermind group called Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And it starts on the 13th of April. So if any of your listeners feel like they want to explore more, that was just one point I learned that I shared a minute ago. But if anyone wants to explore more about this idea of communicating to connect, then they can find out more about you from the website.
Fantastic. And that's on the 13th of April.
And
is that an online event?
It's an online event and it's for 5 weeks.
Fantastic.
1 hour a week, yes.
And if people want to find out about that, is there details on your website?
Absolutely.
So that's candoacademy.net. Find out about the work of the Academy and the work of Mary, and also find out about her five-week workshop starting on the 13th of April. Mary Eniolu, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and wish you continued success with all your business endeavours.
Thank you so much, Paul. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
Welcome back. That is the very inspiring Mary Eniolu. And Jules has tweeted to say how extremely inspiring, Mary, on the Business Bunker Show. Absolutely. I've got a tweet also from Vicky, excuse me, Pink Spaghetti. And she says, Mary is spot on. It's difficult to engender goodwill and flexibility if they don't get the same back. In my experience, both as a manager and an employee, micromanaging is not a good tactic. Absolutely. Lisa Settle said, interesting discussion going on with Mary Eniolu and Vanilla Webb, micromanaging staff. Systems and processes can be there to help the team. Not really thought of it as micromanaging. Yeah, it's like anything, isn't it, Lisa? It depends on how you deploy stuff. It's not the tools themselves. The tools themselves can be quite useful. It's how you use them, how you deploy them, and how much engagement you have with people that use it. I mean, I've seen tools deployed, especially against salespeople, telesalespeople, which monitor how many calls they make, how long they're on a call, whether they hang up prematurely and all the rest of it. But it really doesn't tell you anything about the quality of the call. It's just a number counting exercise and it puts people under pressure. So it kind of depends on how you deploy the tool, I think, really. You know, if the if the tool is there to aid someone to do their job more effectively, then it's good. If it's there just to manage their baseline performance, then it's a bit micromanaging, really. These things are fairly open to how you interpret them, really. Charity buddy Martin Reeves has said, great interview. I love the idea of giving young entrepreneurs a fiver to make a profit. Oh, the Young Enterprise Fiver Scheme, yeah. I would have loved that. He said, sorry, my Twitter keeps cutting off. I'm sure it's you or my phone. I don't know. Young Enterprise do a thing called the Fiverr Challenge and the Tanner Challenge, which are fantastic fun. They really are good fun that we do with school kids, where they get a nominal value of money, £5 or £10 in this case, and they have to trade it up to make more money in one way or another. It's really good fun. We did social media say we loved this interview. Always such great questions. Fantastic. Thank you for that. Darren. Darren's still talking to Darren of Intune PR, who also required a shout out, and quite rightly. PR with a passion. You can find out more about Darren by going to his website, which is intunepr.co.uk. But he's talking about the weird tune that was on before the show. It was just strange, wasn't it? Like you, I did a double take. I was listening to it, and then I just suddenly thought, hold on, that's a version of Mrs. Robinson. It's really weird. Okay, cool. So that was Mary and Lulu of Can Do Academy, and that sparked some conversations on Twitter, which is great stuff. So do keep your thoughts and views and questions coming in about that. We're more than happy to talk about that. But I think it's probably time where we join the FSB newsroom. What do you reckon?
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Okay, I'm going to kick off by telling you about a number of events and networking and webinars and all kinds of things that are coming up. I will give you the link to find out more about all of these or to book your place once I finish reading them all out. And there's quite a few of them. There's a webinar, How to Launch an E-Commerce Business During the Pandemic and Beyond, taking place tomorrow, manana, Wednesday the 31st of March, 1 to 2 p.m. The COVID-19 pandemic saw many small business owners pivot their online operations online. This discussion will explore how those businesses successfully transitioned, how they set up online, and how they implemented e-commerce in their businesses so others can learn from their experiences and seize the digital opportunities available to them. In a similar light, there's a webinar, How to Get Your Brand Noticed on Amazon. This is taking place on Thursday the 8th of April from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. and it's a practical session, and it's being led by Heloise Finch. And it includes a question and answer section to enable businesses to get specific, tailored advice and practical support about selling effectively on Amazon in the UK. As I said, that's Thursday the 8th of April, 1 to 2 p.m. There's a Kent Women in Enterprise virtual network event on Friday the 23rd of April from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. to 12 noon. Join us for this Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow entrepreneurs in our interactive and engaging breakout rooms. Promote your business and meet fellow entrepreneurs in those breakout rooms. The event is hosted by Sue Hainsby of Carlene Lettings. There's an event on Tuesday the 4th of May, How to Find and Win More Tenders. This session offers an ideal hands-on introduction and insight to those new to the world of tendering for work, as well as those who need to steer in the right direction. So that's How to Find and Win More Tenders, Tuesday the 4th of May, 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. Then there's a Kent Membership Matters event on Wednesday the 12th of May, 11 a.m. to 12 noon. Find out what the FSB Kent are doing locally and understand about the benefits of FSB membership to ensure you're getting all the help you can when you need it most. And finally, there's Maidstone Virtual Networking on Wednesday, the 26th of May, 4 to 5pm. Peter Searle is hosting this free FSB Connect online event in association with Metro Bank. It's taking place in Maidstone, and the event is a relaxed networking with like-minded business owners. Everyone is welcome. And the guest speaker at this event is Stephanie Unthank, who's a director of Infinity Wellness. Now, all of those events can be found on the Business Bunker Radio website, and I'm going to give you the link now so you can find out more details and book yourself on to any or all of those. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB or bizradio.co.uk and click the FSB tab, you will find all of these events and more listed there, and all of them have booking links where you can book them and reserve your place. Okay, there's some changes coming on board as of this Thursday, the 1st of April. Statutory sick pay will be increased. The current rate is £95.85. That will go up to the new rate of £96.35. The national living wage also goes up on April the 1st. It goes up to £8.91. If you're a 21 to 22 year old, it's £8.36. 18 to 20 year old, it's £6.56. 16 to 17 year old, it's £4.26. And the apprentice rate is £4.30. Now, there's a change as well. The highest bracket now applies to anyone over the age of 23. And that's a change because until recently, it was anybody up to the age of 25. So that's now been reduced to 23. So that anyone over the age of 23 gets the full national living rate of £8.91. Okay. I've mentioned this last week, but it's still worth mentioning again. Download the new FSB app. It's an app, and we're by your side wherever you are. Manage your membership on your mobile, access your benefits, and find out what's happening near you. It's never been easier to make the most of the FSB. Simply click on the Apple App Store button if you're an iPhone user, or the Google Play Store button if you're an Android phone user, and download the FSB app. And therefore, you can access all your benefits and all the dashboards and everything that's going on all through your mobile phone. And just talking about that, some of the dashboards, some of the things that you can access via that app are the FSB Legal Hub. And the Legal Hub enables you to browse over 1,100 documents, fact sheets and templates covering a host of categories, all available 24/7. It covers HR, debt recovery, health and safety, cyber security and so much more. There's also a wealth of helpful resources and documents related to COVID-19. To access the Hub, simply log in to the fsb.org.uk and you can click through from the dashboard, or use your FSB app and just click on the dashboard. There's also how to stay compliant with workplace pensions. As an employer, it's your responsibility to ensure a compliant workplace pension is in place for all eligible employees, even if you're the only even if you only employ one person. You're still responsible for making sure that they have a pension scheme set up and that you carry out your duties. Failure to do so can result in fines, so it pays to stay up to date. Be proactive about pensions with our top tips on compliance. So to access the workplace pension advice, if you go to fsb.org.uk/resources, page / how to stay compliant. And again, if you've got the FSB app, you can access it through the dashboard, but it's fsb.org.uk/resources page / how to stay compliant. The apprentice and employers are invited to celebrate a third Kent and Medway apprenticeship virtual graduation. The team behind the county's largest celebration of apprentices is back with a date for 2021. It's been confirmed that Friday, the 8th of October, will once again mark the success of apprentices employed by firms from across Kent and Medway in a unique ceremony. The event will be streamed via a bespoke online ceremony that will be accessible to employers, apprentices, their families, and supporters. More than 220 apprentices to date have been personally congratulated by keynote speakers, Minister for Skills and Apprenticeships, Gillian Keegan MP, as well as entrepreneur and director of Be The Business, Anthony Impey MBE, at both virtual and real life events over the past 2 years. KMFM Head of Multimedia News, Nicola Everett, was 2020's host, and in event that combined pre-film footage with a live-streamed half-an-hour ceremony. The FSB South East Policy Chair, Deborah Turner, said apprenticeships are win-win for everyone. Apprentices get the opportunity to learn on the job, gain nationally recognised qualifications and earn a salary. In turn, small business owners benefit from enthusiastic individuals who become valuable members of the team. Despite many small businesses and their staff having had a turbulent time, we're determined to celebrate the employers and apprentices who've pushed through, carried on and developed important skills. Paul Winter, Chair of the Kent and Medway Skills Commission and member of the Kent and Medway Apprentices Graduation Steering Group, is a former higher apprentice himself, and he says, "I know how much I would have valued a formal graduation. It was only after attending my son's university graduation that I realised how much my parents would also have taken pride in attending my own ceremony." An additional benefit of this year's virtual apprenticeship graduation is there's no limit on the number of family, friends and neighbours that can attend. To register your interest for the 2021 virtual graduation, either as a sponsor, an apprentice or an employer, you can go to their website, which is www.kandmappgrad.org. K&M appgrad, appgrad, kandmappgrad.org, to check it all out for the apprentice graduation for 2021 taking place in October. And that is the FSB News Roundup for this week. Okie dokie. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom shortly. Just before we do, I need to tell you about a couple of other things that have come to my attention. Let me just find this. The Maidstone Borough Council have a consultation, a public consultation, on low carbon. Maidstone Council is leading on a low-carbon, high-energy, efficient housing development in the town centre, and it's asking the public to take part in a consultation and to share their thoughts. Working in collaboration with Zed Pods and Maidstone Property Holdings, the council has launched a public consultation on the development, which will consist of 16 low-carbon, energy-efficient homes, which will be built over the King Street car park. The innovative way the homes are being constructed will limit disruption to one of the busiest car parks in Maidstone. Their design will also retain the parking spaces beneath, providing an excellent solution to land revenue sustainability and permanent housing issues. The development is hoping to achieve 16 new residential homes, which will be a mix of one and two bedroom apartments and will be super insulated and airtight with minimal energy demand, providing the lowest possible running costs. If you'd like to take part in that consultation or to find out more about it, if you go to www.zpods, that's Z-E-D-P-O-D-S, zpods.com/Maidstone, you can find out all about the public consultation on those high energy, low carbon proposed homes in the centre of Maidstone. I think it's probably about time that we join the newsroom at Channel Radio. When we come back, we've got another guest to talk to, and I'm going to catch up with a fantastic, lovely, gorgeous Jill Serkin. Let's go over to the news.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
You're listening to Channel Radio.